As we come to worship the Lord this morning, please turn with me to Psalm 66. It's our public scripture reading, but it works wonderfully well as a call to worship. Psalm 66, the heading does not tell us who the author is. We know the Holy Spirit is ultimately the author of everything here. But whoever he was, he is full of joy when we come to this psalm. It is a exuberant psalm, and the reason he's so full of joy is because he's so full of God. This is a very God-centered psalm. I know they're all God-centered, but this one stands out in so many ways in that direction. It is full of joy, and I say that and emphasize that because I am often convicted that I'm not more joyful than I am as a Christian, because I should be joyful as a Christian. You and I should be. We are surrounded by many difficulties, of course. Many are the trials of the just, the Bible says. We all have many difficulties and struggles. But when I compare what I deserve with what God has given me and what God has withheld from me, I have every reason to be full of joy. Joy is literally the fruit of the Spirit. It is an evidence and a manifestation of the Spirit of God living inside of us. And God has every right, because of the blessings he's poured out upon us, to expect us to be joyful. And that's why he commands us to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He has every reason to expect that. And we find that being shown in this particular psalm. There's a wonderful progression of joy throughout the psalm that's very obvious, particularly when you begin looking at the pronouns. I'm going to say some more things about the pronouns at the end. But the pronouns are speaking to me. It begins with an unashamed cry for the entire world, every nation, to worship the Lord. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth, sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. So here's a cry to all the nations. Worship the living God who created you and who sustained you, and who sent his son to die for sinners like us. In verses 5, 6, and 7, it moves to remembering God's great works of old. He specifically mentions the Red Sea crossing. And he talks about how the Lord has done great and mighty things among us. And he invites the worshipers to contemplate God's mighty works of old. I find that when you remember in your prayers the things that God has done in the past, in redemptive history, it is always cause for stirring up holy affections in your heart. Why? Two reasons. Number one, the reason God does what he does is because he is who he is. So when you meditate upon what he's done, you're being forced to think about who he is in his essence. But furthermore, if you're in Christ, redemptive history is the story of God moving heaven and earth in his relentless pursuit of you. So you read this story and it's your story. Of course, the ultimate culmination of all that was Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen. That's where they all culminated, but it's all moving towards that. And that has everything to do with you and me if you are in Christ. So that's where it goes next. Verses 8 through 12 then, the psalmist has been talking about how the world out there needs to be worshiping the Lord. But now it changes to we as God's people, we as a church need to be worshiping God. And I say that because the pronouns change to we and us. Now it's suddenly talking about we as God's people. And of all things, the thing that the psalmist is praising God for is something that may surprise you, particularly because he's so full of joy here. He's praising God because he's taken us through affliction. Isn't that something? Look down at look at verse 11, or let's begin verse 10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. How many of you enjoy going through trials? I don't see any hands raised. But nonetheless, when you look back in hindsight, isn't it obvious so often that the Lord has used the trials and the hardships to make us more like Jesus? He's taught us lessons we otherwise never would learn. And so with hindsight, we can look back and say, Lord, it was hard, But thank you. I have learned how to follow you more closely. I've been made more like Jesus now because of the hard things that you have taken me through. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. Then in verses 13 through 20, it goes away from just thinking about the people of God corporately to being very personal. What has God done for me particularly? Because suddenly the pronouns change to I and me and my. Suddenly it's like this God isn't just concerned about his people generally. He's concerned about me specifically. And he cares about me and he praises him for so many things that he's done for him. Let me end by just pointing out the pronouns. I promised you I was going to. First of all, this is a very God-centered psalm, as I've already said. The word Lord appears one time. The name God appears eight times. Then he or him is used in reference to the Lord himself 12 times. And then the psalmist refers to God by the term you 16 times. That means that God is mentioned 37 specific times in the space of this short psalm. To say it's full of God and full of worship of him is incredible. But it's not just that it's full of God. It's also emphasizing the fact that this is a personal God. A personal God. We, our, us is used 10 times. I or me or my is used 11 times. And as I've already said, God is spoken of as you singular 16 times. This God who is so great, so vast, so infinite, is nevertheless concerned about the particulars of your life and mine. As the Word of God says, cast your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And so with these things in mind, if you'll stand together as we read the scriptures, stand if you're able. If you're not able, it's fine. But hear the word of the Lord. To the chief musician, a song, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, with which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fat animals. With the sweet aroma of rams, I will offer bulls with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we would ask for you to pour out your mercies upon us by giving us your Spirit. We pray that you will anoint every facet of our worship. Lord, there is no strange fire to be found upon our orders of worship. And yet, Lord, that alone is not going to guarantee that you're going to accept what we offer to you. We come before you fallen and sinful, people who can only offer impure and imperfect praise. But Lord, we offer it through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, our person and our work can be accepted in your sight. We pray that the Spirit would fall, especially upon the preaching of the word, and give us ears to hear it. Lord, save sinners from their sins. Awaken your people. Take away our spiritual apathy and renew holy love and holy affections inside of us and cause us to love you more and to serve you more faithfully. And we ask you that you do these things for your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.